Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday and Leighton's cracking down on burglars who steal from old people, I think. Facebook is helping find missing kids. Andrew Dickens has an idea for political philosophy, a new one, and Marcus wants to talk traffic lights. But before any of that, are teachers allowed to belt kids or not? Or at least grab them?
I'm a music teacher in a secondary school, and my wife is head of an intermediate syndicate in a primary intermediate school. And we were talking last night about this very thing, and she was saying that the new legislation, which is the Vulnerable Children's Act, means that in the new year they have a teachers only day and they've got to go all through it. They've got to dissect the act, find out what they can and can't do. But in the meantime, they've been told that even if a child is just throwing an absolute tantrum in the classroom, if they're throwing chairs or throwing books or anything, they've got to remove the other children and let them go for it.
What?
If a child is runs away, for example, it's happened before. I've seen it. I've worked in primary schools before. Especially learning difficulties, kids with learning difficulties or special needs, you can't chase them. You're not allowed to, unless they are very close to being run over by a car. You cannot chase them. You cannot hold them. You know, it's bollocks, to coin a phrase. It's absolute bollocks. And whoever brought this law in, if it's national, they should be shot. I mean, it just removes safety, I believe, from a classroom. In music, you know, we don't get that so much because, kids choose to do music. Mm. Well, it can be. There's a lot of theory there too.
Yeah.
But in secondary, it's probably a bit different. What you can get away with is probably a little bit more.
Does he mean what the teachers can get away with or what the kids can get away with? Who'd be a teacher? I mean, seriously. I'm glad they're there because it means my kids aren't here. Anyway, Leighton, he's got burglars on the brain.
Why did they do it? They did it because they could, because he was old, because they have no morals, no principles, no nothing. It occurred to me that once upon a time, within my lifetime, people had something of a sense of morals, even if they were crooks. They wouldn't do things to little old ladies. They wouldn't do things to little old men, Chinese or not. They wouldn't rob them of everything. They wouldn't break into their house. They wouldn't knock them over and kick them in the head. Not that that happened, but you know what I'm saying, because this goes on constantly. They wouldn't do things to certain people because they had some regard for people's well-being. Some. You know, there was a moral. You know, you go to jail, but the only thing you go to jail for now, where you really get beaten up and treated poorly, maybe deservedly, is if you've been a kiddie fiddler. Some people object to that phraseology, but never mind. That we all know what I mean. And you go to jail, and the only wish you get is good luck with that. But these days, there are no standards. There's no morals. There's no nothing. Would anybody care to give me a reason why it's the way that it is? Why is it that because somebody is old and frail and an easy mark, that makes it okay to go take their stuff? Now, my bet is, if he'd come inside and objected to it, he would have got beaten up. I think you can agree with that. Why is it that this is the case? This is a country in which we used to live when I arrived here in January of 1980. You could leave your car unlocked. You could leave your front door unlocked pretty much anywhere. That wasn't very long ago.
To be fair, you can still leave your car unlocked and your door open. And in some ways, it might be better to, because then they won't break your door or your window of your car in order to take your stuff. Just the insurance company's not happy if you do that, obviously. Now, even worse is when kids go missing. Facebook have joined up with the police to try and stop that from happening, apparently.
How does this work in simple form? How does it work?
It's actually a very simple product where when the police in New Zealand have decided that an Amber Alert is appropriate, they send us an email and we prepare an alert that will be sent out to people in New Zealand who use Facebook if they're within the search area.
Would you expect police to be using this tool often?
No. Child abduction in New Zealand is a very, very rare occurrence. But when it happens, what we wanted to do with this partnership is to give the police an added tool in their toolbox to hopefully resolve cases as fast as possible.
And what about your experience with this? What success have you had with it?
We first launched Amber Alerts on Facebook in January of 2015. And since then, there have been four children that have been reunited safely with their families because somebody in the child's community saw the Amber Alert on Facebook and contacted the authorities.
That sounds good. I just wonder if Facebook have got a different idea to the police of what constitutes a missing person. Because I've received notifications from Facebook complaining that I haven't posted in a while. It's like been a day since I've put anything on Facebook. I think they think that means I've gone missing. I mean, I haven't. I just had enough of social media for a while. Anyway, I suppose if it helps, it's good. Andrew's got some clever ideas around fixing the political situation in New Zealand because it's got a bit silly this week.
Our Prime Minister is seen as being very cool on the world stage right now, and it's because she's youngish. She's a normal, decent person. She's a socialist, sure. But she's a nice one, a caring one, who owned a cat. They said the cat had opposable thumbs and they said the cat could tweet. How cute is that? So while I have some doubts about this new government, about them affording the wish list, it is showing its caring. The 22 weeks paid parental leave, for instance, it was something that National actually didn't mind. Yesterday they voted for it. But they were prepared to make parents wait a couple of years for it. I guess it was to make them seem like responsible steerers of the tiller of the economy. It actually made them seem to be mealy-mouthed tightwads who were more inclined to do nothing if it was going to cost. And the best example of that is what I've been talking about all morning, Tēnā Pōra, yesterday. Amy Adams apologised to Tēnā for losing 21 years of his life last year. She gave him $2.5 million. His lawyers were arguing for $8 million because they believed inflation over the last two decades weren't factored in. But Amy Adams held tough and said, no, 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 no. Within weeks of Andrew Little being the Justice Minister, he's given Tēnā Pōra $1 million. Of course, they were wanting 5.5. But anyway, just like that, the whole thing has dissipated. Tēnā's overwhelmed. He wanted to thank the Andrew guy who made it happen. And now we need never hear about the whole thing ever again. Andrew Little, nice guy. Amy Adams, hard woman. It shows that this government has a heart, something that the last government failed to express, even though they too are good, decent people. Like many, I think, we'd love to merge the heart of Labour with the fiscal discipline of National, and then there'd be no stopping us.
Sounds unnatural to me. Sounds like genetic modification of some kind. Mind you, the old the cat with the opposable thumbs, that sounds a bit unnatural too. Why am I only just hearing about this cat now? I missed the cat thing. It's only after it got flattened that... And to be honest, I don't think we can have cats with opposable thumbs going around out there. I don't think that's just weird. Anyway, I missed the cat thing until it was dead. Off in the way. We're going to finish up here talking traffic lights with Marcus.
I live in a small town. Invercargill. I live in Bluff. I work in Invercargill. Here's the thing about Invercargill, right? And I don't know if this is annoying any of you. After 5 o'clock, the streets are empty. Particularly if it's windy, which it is today. However, even when it's windy, and even when the streets are empty, you've still got to stop at every damn traffic light, and there's a lot of them. When did small town New Zealand get so obsessed with traffic lights? I don't think Invercargill would need any traffic lights. But we've probably got 30 sets. We must be the most over-traffic-lighted town in New Zealand. And it's mental. I go to get a coffee before I start work. There's 8 sets of traffic lights. 1, 2, 3, 4. 8 sets of traffic lights. And then I went to get a coffee. And I left my damn swipe cards to get into the building, so I had to go back. Another 16 sets of traffic lights and not one car. I don't know what the people we've got on council do, but my answer, after six, make the traffic lights flash. Flash them amber, you just go through them as you like. Because it's crazy, the system we've got now.
Well, I've got a lot more traffic lights around me. I live in Rodney. Is it still Rodney? I'm unclear on this. It used to be its own place, and then we got supercitied. And I'm not sure if we're allowed to still call ourselves Rodney. Anyway, we got more traffic lights than ever before because we've got some of the fastest growing suburbs in Auckland around, and there's a lot of people, a lot of cars, got to get to a lot of places, and it's the best thing that's ever happened. You might think that, you know, you're stopping at a lot more intersections more often, but also you happen to come across those sections when it's green, and then they were intersections that you were waiting at before. So I think Marcus needs to pull his head in just quietly. I don't mean that. I'm not trying to start a war with you, Marcus. I'm just saying I'm a fan of a traffic light at a busy intersection. That's all I'm saying. And given that that's all I'm saying, it's a time to stop News Talk ZBeen for Friday and the week. And I will start it again with the weekend edition on Monday. See you then.